I'm so excited to share the platform with my beautiful, gracious, talented niece, Monique Sanasi, also known as Mon, Mons, and most of you know her as Momo. So our sermon title for this morning is Step Out in Faith and Step into God's Grace. Okay, but before we start this, you know, we're family. Can I share something? So our message this morning is supposed to be bold, courageous, faith-moving, but let me tell you, when we were at the back there, hands shaking, knees trembling, but we trust that the Holy Spirit will take over, and will be more of Him and less of us. Amen? Okay, going back to our sermon. Step out in faith and step into God's grace.
So our opening scripture this morning comes from Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
So as we gather during the special Women's Month, we honor the courage, faith, and spiritual power that God has placed within each woman or within every person here. Today's message, Stepping Out in Faith and Stepping to God's Grace, is a divine call for women to rise in wisdom, faith, courage, and purpose, not for personal glory, but for the transformation of families, communities, generations to come, and for our God's glory. As we celebrate Women's Month, we're going to turn to two different scriptures in the Bible of powerful women, one whose names are often overlooked, but who made history and who were game changers by just stepping in faith. So the first scripture reading comes from Numbers 27, verses 1 to 11. Then drew near the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, son of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, from the clans of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. The names of his daughters were Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. And they stood before Moses, and before Eleazar the priest, and before the chiefs, and all the congregation, at the entrance of the tent meeting, saying, Our father died in the wilderness. He was not among the company of those who gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but he died for his own sin, and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be taken away from his clan? Because he had no son. Give us a possession among our father's brothers.
So Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord said to Moses, The daughters are right. You shall give them their possessions of the inheritance amongst their father's brothers, and transfer the inheritance of their father to them. And you shall speak to the people of Israel, saying, If a man dies and he has no sons, then you shall transfer his inheritance to his daughter. And if he has no daughter, then he shall give his inheritance to his brothers. And if he has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to the nearest kinsman of his clan, and they shall possess it. And if it shall be for the people of Israel, and stay as a rule, and this was the commandment from the Lord to Moses.
So I'm sure most of you have heard little or not much about Zelophehad. And I think it's because of the pronunciation of his name. It's way too difficult. We had to try to pronounce it a few times before we got it right. And we hope we got it right. So just to give you some background to the scripture reading. This passage occurs while Israel is still in the wilderness. After God has instructed Moses about dividing the promised land among the tribes, the story of Zelophehad's daughters tells us how five sisters, Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah, who bravely approached Moses, Eleazar the priest, and the leaders of Israel, to request their father's inheritance after he died. Zelophehad had no sons, and in those days, if you had no sons, then the land would go to their uncles, their father's brothers, or the next male relative. It was a time when women had no legal rights to inherit land. So these daughters went to Moses, and they say to Moses, and respectfully argued, that why should their father's name disappear from his clan? because he has no sons. So Moses, now shocked, what is happening here? He didn't know what to do. So he sought the Lord and took the request before the Lord. And the Lord affirmed their request as just and instituted a new law, ensuring that the daughters could inherit the land if there were no sons. Their courage and faith not only secured their family's legacy, but also changed Israel's inheritance law for future generations. So what stands out in scripture here is in a time when only sons or men could inherit land, and where daughters or women had no rights, no voice, and no recognition. These five daughters refused to let their family name and their family's legacy disappear. So let's make sense of this, right? Five daughters with all different personalities, temperaments, opinions. Pastor Miriam, you have two daughters, right? It's difficult. They're strong-headed. It's sometimes difficult to get them to agree on something. Okay, but these daughters, they stood together. They came to Moses in unity. So when we come in unity, asking God for something in prayer, he hears, processes, and he answers. So these daughters stepped out in faith. They had to have good courage when they approached Moses, the priests, and the council. Culture was based on a patriarchal system then, so women had no voice. What they did was unheard of. It was a big deal. You didn't have women in their culture to voice their opinions, to stand up. These sisters were bold, courageous, and all they had was their faith. So now I'm thinking, right, Women's Month, I don't know about you, but personally, I'm encouraged, I'm empowered. You feel courageous, you feel bold, you feel fierce. So more than likely, it was August when they approached Moses. So these daughters loved the Lord. They knew that if they did not stand up and ask, they would be homeless, and that that was not the will of God. So what did they do? They stood together in unity. They went against the rules and cultures, and that means if you want to stand out, you have to step out in faith. These daughters of Zelophehad had courage, wisdom, unity, and boldness. They knew that no word from God will ever fail. They had faith in Yahweh, that what he promises, he will deliver. So let me just share a small testimony about my life as an encouragement this morning. In 2021, until last year, was the most challenging years of my life. Okay, my mom was diagnosed with dementia. Her health was deteriorating. My sister suffered two major heart attacks. I was completing my degree, overwhelmed with studies, family duties, and work. Erin was writing matric, and then she was not accepted for medicine. I was rushed twice to the hospital emergency room. You know when life gets tough, when it gets too much, when you're overcome with burdens, but you don't know where to turn. Turn to the Lord. Just like Moses, Moses could have went to the priest or the council to get advice, but in all his wisdom, he turned to the Lord. So too, I held onto my faith and just stood on the promises of God. It was difficult at times, but I learned that I can't lean on my own understanding. And just like Moses, I had to seek the Lord. The Lord restored my sister's health. Erin was accepted for medicine at the universities that were her first choice. My mom sadly passed away last year, but God released her from her pain and suffering, and I completed my degree. God is faithful, but also, guys, I won't lie, I had the cream of the crop praying for me, right? So I had Bishop, Mom Neela, Pastor Adrian, Pastor Janine, Pastor Marcus, Pastor Nino, Pastor Sally, all these powerful men and women of God. But what can I say? If you're connected, you're connected. If you're blessed, you're blessed. So you know what? Stay connected to the house. But jokes aside, God is not a man that he shall lie. And during this time, what I learned is that he is a miracle worker. He's a way maker and he's a promise keeper. And that his grace is more than sufficient. Amen. Now we're going to go to our second scripture. So the second scripture is this of the woman of the issue of blood. So Mark 5, verse 25. She came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Amen.
So let's shift from the courtroom into the crowd. So Romain spoke about the legal history that woman went through and where woman was silenced. But now we're going to take it and be a bit more personal. Go onto a personal level and test your faith. See, we read today about the woman with the issue of blood. She was most likely anemic, fatigued, worn out, tired, didn't know what was happening to her. She woke up every morning in pain, went to bed with the same pain she had. Financial issues, probably we all know how expensive medical bills are, right? And that message you get, insufficient funds, or when you get the message, the medical aid savings are up. We all know that message. So she went to doctors, treatments, and who knows what other issues she might have went through. She could have even had relational issues. Two, the Levitical law prohibited her from entering God's temple or coming into contact with any human. She was labeled unclean. She could have felt alone, isolated, abandoned, rejected, an outcast, or even just broken, where you feel like, God, what is happening? Years of shame left her broken and stripped from any self-worth and any proper identity. She may have been bitter towards God. I think we all have those moments where you just say, God, when are you showing up? When are you coming through? I can't do this by myself anymore. So she doubted God's faithfulness, and her faith may have grown cold. 12 years of bleeding, being considered unclean to the people, being financially broken, and being emotionally just drained out. But her problem pushed her to step out in faith and step into God's grace. She didn't just wait for a physical issue to be met or to be healed or treated. She was desperate. She was driven. She chose no longer to remain silent or to stay in that lonely pit. She stepped up and stepped out to just get one touch from the Father. Have you ever been in a certain or taken place in a certain activity where you felt like you have no energy left inside of you? Not, it might have been in Pilates where you're like, I can't do this anymore, but you push and you push because you want to know what outcome you might have. You want that expectation to happen. Now imagine that happening to someone by simply just touching you, just a touch, not on your body, at the end of your garment, just a touch that changed everything. So Jesus looked around in the crowd and asked, who touched me? The disciples were confused, probably like, there's thousands of people around us chanting your name, screaming in the crowd, and now you're asking us who touched you. We don't know who touched you. What thoughts might have crossed her mind when she locked eyes with the Savior? Am I in trouble? What have I done? What will they do to me when they find out it was me? The unclean woman, the woman that had no place in society. What will he do? Will Jesus run away from me? I'm sure that's what she thought as well. She falls before him, trembling and wonders, should I tell him the whole truth? There's many of us that come to the altar and question ourselves, should I tell him the whole truth? Jesus wants it all. He wants to hear everything, not just a part of you, not just the struggle you're facing. He wants to know the whole truth. And as she falls before him, She says, I was ill, rejected, depressed, and hopeless, but I heard you. I heard that you give strength, you give sight to the blind, you restore the lame, you raise the dead, and you deliver the demon-possessed. You multiply food to those that are hungry. You are the God that does the impossible. So surely I believe that you could heal me in this moment. So her touch didn't just stop her bleeding at that moment. The touch, slow down. Just the touch touched her soul and restored her back to the Father to give her a new identity. See, what wisdom can we take from this woman? God doesn't just heal, he restores. And not just a part of you, as I said, but the whole part that is about to change your life. Your past doesn't disqualify you from your divine encounter with the Father. The woman was rejected by society, but she had received the Savior. Jesus didn't just stop her bleeding. He called her daughter. So already we know that she received a new identity in God. That's not just healing. That's restoration. That's identity and a place of belonging. God is not concerned with fixing the issue. He's committed to restoring the whole you, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Because true wholeness isn't physical, it's spiritual and emotional too. So how many of us believe that God can do it? Just by a raise of hands, how many of you believe that God can do it? So he did it for me. So that's why I can testify and say God can do it. I want to be real for a moment. There have been times in my life when I felt like it's a battle. I have to put on my fighting gloves and go for it. Now, just not a bad hair day or a bad day at work, feeling tired, going home, making sure Jordan gets a good meal, but just drained. It was a real fight. A fight with anxiety, a fight with depression, a fight with so many thoughts I couldn't even speak out at times. In those moments, I felt like everything was closing in. I felt alone, questioning God, where are you? That's the question we always have when things aren't going right. But deep down, I knew this wasn't just emotional. It was spiritual. It was warfare. It was about to go down. Life being hard, but a spiritual attack on my peace, my identity, and my purpose. And that's what warfare was for me. You can't lean on someone else's faith to carry you through a storm. You need your own prayers to stand in the gap. You need your own strength. Because when it's just you going through that valley, that's when God meets you in that prayer closet on your knees. That's when you become a warrior. That's when you learn to put God, to put on your full armor. Just like it says in Ephesians, to stand firm and fight back and to refuse to give up. And this is why the women in the Bible matter so much. And we all relate to their stories because they were just like us. They had issues, they had battles. They probably had flu as well. They had fears. And others struggling with shame, sickness, or just being silent, like Romaine spoke about the five daughters. But the same God met them right at their struggling point every single time. You're not weak because you're struggling. You're not going through this all by yourself. You're strong only because you're standing. And God isn't afraid of your mess or the way you look in that current situation. He's not distant in your battle. He is close, closer than a friend. He's ready to make you a warrior. So girl, get up. Pray like your life depends on it, because it does. You have to put on that armor. You have the power, and you have a God that never loses a battle. So I, because it's Women's Month, so obviously I'm going to encourage more women, and I need the woman to chant a bit. So in the Bible, we all see these stories over and over again, and I always say I'm a Jesus girly. I'm probably God's favorite. So when I go through something and God does it for me, I'm like, Jesus, I'm your favorite girl. I believe the bond between father and daughter is something else. It's something more powerful. So what is your relationship like with your Heavenly Father this morning? And we look through every scripture over and over again throughout the Bible. Every time a woman had encounter with God, he met her right where she was, right in the midst of her reality. Not after she cleaned herself up and put on her MAC lipstick. Nope, not that moment. The moment where she went through that difficult time, right there in the middle of her warfare, in her pain, her shame, and her confusion, God showed up. A few examples where God showed up to women. See, God will send men out, but he meets women right where they are. He's a gentleman, I believe. He met the woman at the well in the heat of day. He met the woman with the issue of blood amongst the crowd where she didn't even belong. He met the widow preparing for death and gave her life. He met Mary in her brokenness and gave her a purpose. So as I said, girl, get up. Pray like your life depends on it, because it does. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She stepped out in her faith and reached out through the crowd just to get one touch, to have that encounter. She went with an expectation. And just like that, your faith can make the impossible possible this morning. So God sees you. He's ready to heal you. He's ready to restore you this morning and lift you up. So step out and step up for your miracle. This is not a chance where you need to wait. This is a chance you need to go out with expectation, knowing that God will heal you. Amen.
Thank you, Mon, for such a powerful and encouraging testimony. Wasn't that good? So, if we compare or correlate these scripture readings and these bold women who stepped out in faith, we conclude with these points and declarations. Faith breaks silence. The five daughters of Zelophehad refused to stay silent. In a patriarchal system that had no place for their voice, they spoke up anyway. Faith says, I may not have a seat at the table, but I know the one who built it. Faith refused to let culture dictate destiny. So today we declare, I won't be silent when faith is calling me to speak. Like the daughters of Zelophehad, who spoke up, and like the woman with the issue of blood, who refused to be silent in her suffering.
Faith requires that action. The woman with the issue of blood didn't just believe, she moved. She pressed through the crowd, defined the norms, risked rejection, all for one touch. Faith is not passive, it's pursuit. Sometimes your breakthrough is on the other side of your discomfort, and I know many of us don't like being uncomfortable. Just like the daughters who stood before Moses and asked why, can't we inherit what our father has worked hard for? Would there have been this marked in history? Game changers and women that open the doors for those to come. So today we declare that we'll move even when it's messy. I'll reach even when I'm weak.
So grace changes the outcome. For the daughters, God didn't just allow it. He changed the law. For the woman, Jesus didn't just heal her. He restored her identity. That's the kind of grace God gives. Not average, but tailor-made. You may come to God broken, but you will leave restored. So we declare, God's grace is rewriting my outcome.
Faith begins where excuses end. Both women and daughters had their own reasons to stay hidden. Hidden because of culturally disqualified, emotionally drained, socially rejected. But they refuse to let excuses speak louder than their expectation. Your breakthrough might not begin when the strength is there. It begins with bold belief. I'm done making excuses. I'm stepping into expectation.
So in conclusion, faith is not a one-time event. It's a pattern and a pursuit. Different women, different struggles, but the same God who responds to bold moves. These women refused to be defined by their conditions. The daughters rejected the limits of the inheritance law. The woman rejected the limits of her sickness. What label do you need to shake off so you can step into God's grace? Faith isn't always loud, but it's always decisive. The daughter spoke, the woman reached. Faith can be voiced or silent, but it always moves.
God doesn't just play favorites. He honors your faith. If he did it for them, he can do it for you. Jesus moves for the bold and the broken alike. Bold faith unlocks legacy. The woman's healing is still preached about today. The daughters made legal history. Your step of faith may be the door someone else walks through. Don't just step out for yourself. Step out for those who's about to come. Our final declaration is that my faith is somebody's survival guide.
So stepping out in faith means choosing faith over fear. Stepping out in God's grace means reaching beyond our circumstance to touch the promises of God. So this morning, if you're weary from your struggles, and maybe your issue is sickness, bitterness, unforgiveness, loneliness, maybe it's pride, anger, or feeling worthless, maybe you just face rejection, abuse, or broken family, whatever your issue is, today is the day to step out in faith and into God's grace. So if you need a touch from God, if you need to take bold steps out in faith, I invite you to stand up and we will ask our pastors to pray for you. Let's leave fear and anxiety behind and take that bold, courageous step of faith.